This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Right now, Joel Klatt of Fox Sports joins us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline. It's always fun to talk to Klatt. Joel, how are you today, man?
Good. What's going on, fellas? How are you today?
Doing great. The big noon kickoff Saturday involves Indiana again. You've seen Indiana some. Indiana-Ohio State, the game I don't think we ever projected would have this kind of meaning, a top 10 matchup for the lead in that division. Most would not give Indiana a chance here, but most have not been given Indiana a chance most weeks, and they continue to win games.
Yeah, it's fascinating to me. When I saw the line, I was shocked. I got to be honest with you. I was totally shocked. And I think that there's a little bit too much belief in Ohio State and not enough recognition of what Indiana is this year. I think that there's way too much history being laid in those lines. And listen, those lines are made based on what people are going to do with their money, and people are generally going to bet on Ohio State, right? So I think it was 20.5 the last time I saw it, or maybe 21.
Yeah, somewhere in there, about 3 touchdowns, yeah.
Indiana's better than that, guys. I'm just telling you, like, their defense is really good. They got a lot of juniors that were recruited from the South, from the Florida area, because, you know, Tom Allen, their head coach, has history down in Florida, not only at South Florida, but high school coaching. And so, they're a good football team, and Ohio State is not nearly what they were a year ago. You know how bullish I was on Ohio State a year ago, and rightly so in a lot of respects. But their defense this year, while talented, has given up 1.5 yards more per play than they did a year ago. They don't run the football like they did last year with J.K. Dobbins. They haven't found a replacement for him. He was a 2,000-yard rusher and kind of got lost in the shuffle, to be honest with you. They got a great quarterback and a lot of really talented players, but that's not the same team that we saw, you know, last year kind of steamroll everybody. So not going to shock me at all if we're in a really tight matchup here come tomorrow in the shoot.
Joel, to me, your front runner for the Heisman right now is Kyle Trask at Florida. One of my co-hosts disagrees, but I think Ian Book is a guy that deserves Heisman recognition, at least for what he's been able to do for his team. If I ask you, more important quarterback for their team, Ian Book or Kyle Trask?
Trask, certainly, in particular with the way their defense played early in the season. I know they've played a little bit better, but Trask, here's the Heisman is such a fascinating deal because, guys, I really hesitate to give my vote to a guy who's not even the best player on his offense. And Trask, I feel like, falls in that category. Like, I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that his numbers and the way that he's played, I mean, he's been outstanding.
And it's a quarterback's award.
But you would say it's Kyle Pitts? Is that who you're saying is Kyle Pitts?
But Pitts is certainly the best player on that offense. There's no question in my mind. And I get it. But why does it need to be a quarterback award?
It shouldn't be.
I don't know. I think that we've lost sight of what the Heisman is. Now, I think Book has had a really good year. I think it's going to be hard to keep Justin Fields out of that conversation. I think Zach Wilson needs to get some consideration. And I get it that, but I think Najee Harris needs to be given more consideration for what he's doing. Like, I would give the same argument. People are like, oh, Mac Jones needs to be in the Heisman race. I'm like, he's not even the second best player on his offense. Like, what are we talking? We're going to give him the Heisman Trophy? Like, I don't quite understand that. I think Najee Harris is in my top three right now. Trask, maybe. Fields, certainly. But that's just kind of where I'm at right now.
I enjoy your top 10 that you put out every week. I did notice this week you keep Texas A&M ahead of Florida, head-to-head. Texas A&M beat Florida.
Well,
that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense to me. Do you think the committee and people will continue to see it that way?
I mean, who knows what the committee is going to do? I've always thought that the committee is a bunch of jokers. But, you guys know how I feel. Head-to-head has to mean something. A&M beat that Florida team. They did a wonderful job. Their only loss is to Alabama. I don't know. Maybe it's going to be out of sight, out of mind, because we've seen A&M lose a couple games, but we saw Florida lose a couple games earlier in the season. I think that, and listen, you guys, correct me if you feel like I'm wrong. are we giving Georgia way too much credit? Is like Georgia the Minnesota of the SEC? Like everybody that, you know, Michigan beat Minnesota and I fell for it. Just hook, line, and sinker. I was like, damn, this Michigan team's going to be really good. they're a joke. And now everyone that beats Georgia, we're like, well, they beat Georgia. And it's like, that's great, but they beat them with Jones Junior High School's starting quarterback. So I don't know, man. I know that Florida is going to get a lot of run because it's fun to look at Trask. They're flashy. But for me, A&M certainly needs to get the benefit of the doubt because they beat them. If we just start throwing out head-to-head, then we need to dump the committee and go to a different, you know, philosophy and form of doing this in college football. Or else, why are we even playing the games? Let's just look at the recruiting rankings. We'll all sit in a bar. I'll have a coffee. You guys can have a drink. And like, we'll all just debate it and come up with a ranking system. Like, the games have to matter.
Joel Klatt is with us at Joel Klatt on Twitter. You'll see him Saturday in the Big Noon kickoff, 11 o'clock if you're Central Time like us. It is Ohio State and Indiana. He and Gus Johnson, Jenny Taft will have that game from the shoe. Bedlam is later on in the day. And it's got massive implications in the Big 12 standings. Oklahoma is the favorite in this game, not Oklahoma State, because all of a sudden they're playing more Oklahoma-ish football than they were earlier in the year. And it really starts with their quarterback, Spencer Rattler, who's much improved.
Well, I would actually
disagree
with you. And here's what you say. It starts with their quarterback. I think it starts with their run game.
Okay.
And I think it has started with their run game for the last few years. Remember, this is a team that's finished in the top, 10 in the country rushing the football almost each of the last 3 years, and dating back even to when Riley was the offensive coordinator. They've rushed for well over 200 yards a game in those years. And for me, when the suspended Ramondre Stevenson came back to the lineup at running back, they changed completely. He's averaging now 8 yards per carry. This is and I know it sounds crazy, guys, but it is a run-first team. And everything comes off of that GT counter play that they run. And when they can run the football, that's when the chunk plays open up down the field. And so that's been like a game changer for their offense. And then I do think that their defense has played better. I wouldn't go out on a limb and say that their defense is a great defense by any stretch. Maybe they're playing good football, but I think that's helped them out quite a bit. They got Ronnie Perkins back from suspension. And these suspensions all stem from the fact that the playoff teams, and only the playoff teams, are tested, and then they had 3 guys popped. They've been complaining that they don't feel like that's just because other teams around the country aren't tested. And I'm like, well, listen, if you're in the playoff every year and you know that the tests are coming and you still get popped, don't cry to me because you're stupid.
Joel, let's jump to the Pac-12. Utah's going to...
Am I wrong?
No. Right? No, not at all. You're good.
Utah's going to play their first game tomorrow night. Interesting game against USC. Hard to believe, first game November 21st. You were on the call, USC-Arizona last week. I watched the entire broadcast. And Keaton Slovis, the numbers have been okay. They're 2-0. Obviously, they've really struggled until the final couple of minutes of each of those games against Arizona State and the game you had last week against Arizona. But something was wrong with Keaton Slovis, and you mentioned it on the broadcast multiple times. The ball just fluttered out of his hand. Is something wrong with him?
I thought so. I mean, I felt bad, but at one point I compared one of his passes to playing 500 when we were all kids. You just shout the number and you just throw it up for everybody. And that's literally what it looked like. And he was one of the most accurate passers in the country last year. He set the Pac-12 record for completion percentage in a season. And, something was happening. They blamed it on the dryness, in Tucson, being that arid climate. And I don't buy it. I thought something was wrong. I still think something's wrong. And that team is fool's gold, guys. I'm like, listen, they're nice guys, but that is not a very good football team. They probably should have lost each of those games, one of them to an Arizona team that was picked to finish last in the division, and rightly so. And that was before even all the opt-outs that they had and transfers that they had once the Pac-12 decided to punt on the season. This USC team is just, they're stuck. They're trying to run a pretty pure version of the air raid offense at a place in which should be really balanced. See, my argument is you don't have to run the pure air raid if you're a Texas or a USC or an Oklahoma or an Alabama or an Ohio State or some of these places, because the pure air raid was basically meant to make up for the margin or the deficit in talent that one team has to another. That's why it was so successful at A&M and Kentucky and Washington State. There's no adjustment to the offense, though. And this is what's so frustrating and maddening watching this offense. And this is what Mississippi State fans are having to deal with. All you have to do is play a soft zone, and Leach has no answer, and Graham Harrell has no answer because they refuse to run the football. You see, if, like, let's say someone were to come out and be like, we're not going to allow Mac Jones in the passing game for Alabama to get loose. We're just going to play a three down line and drop eight in coverage and play really soft zone. Najee Harris would have 875 yards at halftime, right? Like, that's what you do if you're a good team. And USC just sits there and drops back on first down, throws it into the eight-man zone. I'm like, what are you doing? They have no plan in short yardage. If your quarterback can't hold the edge as a threat as a runner, what are you doing in shotgun and short yardage situations? If you're not going to create jet motion to hold the soft edge meaning like the tackle edge, not a tight end edge, so that split edge there, that's the distance, that edge player, the end man on the line of scrimmage, the EOL, he can squeeze down and stop you in short yardage. So you've got to hold him either with the zone read of the quarterback, which they're not going to run with Keaton Slovis, or you've got to have some sort of like tight end set motion that holds them to that edge. Nope, they don't want to do that. They just sit there, snap the ball to the shotgun, hand it to the running back, and get stuffed on third and one and fourth and one. It's egregious. I got to tell you, USC is not very good.
Your sweet wife, Sarah, never stood a chance, did she? You were a quarterback, a professional baseball player, and then thanks to social media, you showed us last weekend before the game you could dance, too. She never had a shot.
Man, I got to tell you, Gus is, he brings the energy every week. And last week, we didn't have the noon game, so we didn't have any pregame responsibilities. And we were just sitting there, and they were playing music. I had no idea that Terry Freeman, who was in part of like our security team at Fox, he was in the booth and filming. And I didn't realize it, but that was the best I got. That was it right there.
That's the best, huh? All right, dog. Class best dancing.
I'm envious. I wish I could dance at all. One lick. I've got nothing. Nothing.
See Klatt and Gus and Jenny, and they may dance some on the Big Noon Kickoff, 11 o'clock Central Time, in spite of the noon name. Fox 6 here locally, Ohio State and Indiana. You can see it Saturday. Klatt, have a great weekend. Enjoy the game. We always appreciate the time.
I realize, by the way, that it's only weeks that I put like Alabama number one in my top 10 that I get a text from Ryan. It's like, hey, you want to come on the show this week?
You know.
I see how it is.
We would take you every week, and you know that good and well, Klatt. Don't act like that. That's a thing. You know good and well.
All right.
Be good. See you. Joe Klatt with us on the Bud Light Seltzer Hotline and Easy Drinking Hard Seltzer with two carbs and 100 calories, tried in strawberry, lime, mango, black cherry, or grab the variety.